All right, tonight I'd like to invite you over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16 reads this way. It says, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again we come before your throne this evening asking your blessings. And Lord, praying that you would guide this service tonight to glorify you by your Holy Spirit, that we might worship you in truth and spirit, that we would hear from you, and Lord, that you would empower our lives to glorify your name. Bless, Lord, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message is A Good Hope Through Grace, and that's what you and I have as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight we'll take a few moments and look at what we are and what we have in the Lord. We'll look at what we are and what we have in the Lord. What we are in the Lord is beloved of the Lord. Isn't that good? Amen. Beloved of the Lord. And what we have in the Lord is glory, obtained glory, by the way, not attained. You know the difference, right? Attain is something we work for. Obtain is something that's been given to us. We thank the Lord for that. And then an everlasting consolation. Isn't that good? We have an everlasting consolation. Let me remind you what James 1:17 and 18 says. Ready? James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness." There's no wavering with God. That's God's desire, and he doesn't vary from one person to the other. "Neither shadow of turning." You ever stop to think about that? God is set on blessing your life and mine. He is determined to bless your life and mine. There's only one way we can miss it, and that's if we simply don't look for it. Because God says, Jesus said, if you seek me, you'll what? He didn't say you might find me. He said you'll find me. That's a good thing. And then notice this. With that, he says in verse 18, "Of his own will begat he us." Isn't that good? It was God's will that we would be born again. So he's begotten us again with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures or creation. And so we thank the Lord for that. And I want to remind you again, it's God's will that he brings blessings into your life and mine. And so we thank the Lord for that. And tonight, again, we just want to take a few moments here to look at what we are and what we have in the Lord. And the first thing I want to take notice of is found here in verse 13, and that is that we are beloved of the Lord. Notice this, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you." This is the Apostle Paul, who, by the way, as we noticed this morning, he was talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ there in the previous verses. And he was talking about how he didn't want them to be disillusioned, and he wanted them to have the hope that a saved child of God ought to have, and to have some information concerning how the Lord was going to come the second time. God has not left us without hope. We of all people, Paul said, ought to be the happiest on planet Earth. Amen? And because everything that we have believed is not a truth, but the truth. And that's a good thing. And God wants us to have an experience, I believe, on a daily basis of God's grace in our lives. So he says, we're bound to give thanks always to God, verse 13, "for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation." Notice this, "through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." Did you see all of that that's working there in that verse? That's amazing. Listen, look at that very carefully. So he says, we give thanks always to God. This is Paul saying, we give God thanks for the believers that are at Thessalonica during the time of Paul. Do you think Paul would say that God, listen, that there's thanks to be given for every child of God in every church? Absolutely. And then he says, why? He says, because we are beloved of the Lord. Don't ever forget that. Because sometimes we don't always feel loved, do we? Do you always feel loved? Sometimes, very rarely, we're not happy. That ought to be the case anyway, right? Sometimes we're just, I know, probably just annually, you probably got that one day every stinking year that comes around that you're not happy, right? Just that one day that you're not happy. No, listen, unfortunately, we battle with that. That's all right to do. Listen, our life in the Lord is bound up in Him, and we just need to be reminded where our joy is. You remember the difference between happiness and joy, right? The world gives happiness like a roller coaster ride. It's up, it's down, it's up, it's down. But joy comes from God because you're a child of God, and that can never be taken from you, and you have something to look forward to that God has instilled in your heart by the grace of God, that you have eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will one day see the Savior by the grace of God and have and live eternally forever with the Lord. And by the way, listen, I have a hard time trying to comprehend this, but when we get to heaven, it'll just be getting started, won't it? Now, there's no time there, but for you and I that are creatures of the clock, a million years after we're in heaven, I know there's no time there, but just this is just the way we think. A million years after we've been there, we'll just still be getting started. Listen, forever... We'll just, didn't that hurt your brain? We'll just still be getting started. Because we're creatures of the clock. We don't understand that. And everything will just, listen, everything will be brand new all the time. You and I won't grow old. Amen? Woo! Amen. Praise the Lord and everything that goes with it. Wait a minute. Nothing grows old. Moment after moment after moment will be brand new. And listen, fathom this thought. Brother Bill explained it, I tell you, the best way. God will completely, continually, throughout all eternity, reveal more about Himself that we don't know. Amen. Because God is infinite. There is no end to God. I know we say that, but I don't know that how that computes in our brain. Because moment by moment, as Brother Wyatt has shared, God will just pull back the curtain and He'll show us something new. We'll awe and ooh over that and then worship the Lord and praise God. And guess what He'll do? He'll pull back the curtain again and there's something new there again. And He'll just keep doing it over and over and over again. And that's what heaven is going to be all about, the awesome awe-ness of our God. And that will never grow old. Everything will be fresh and new all the time. Listen, throughout all eternity... we just can't really comprehend that. We can understand it to a little degree. And I'm telling you, my mouth is going to be on the floor when we get there. I'm convinced of it because there are things that I think about that I think, wow, God, You are truly amazing. And so we are beloved of God. How is that? How does that happen? The grace of God has entered into your life and mine. And has given to us all these great things. And so again, verse 13 says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. Why would we give God thanks? Because it's His work. None of us would come to the Son unless the Father did a work to help us to see that understanding. All of a sudden, the believer says, oh, that's me. I need Jesus as my Savior. And He's right there. Jesus saved me, and guess what He does? He saves us and opens up our hearts and minds to see things in our relationship with Him that we could never see without Him. So he says, beloved of the Lord, verse 13, because God hath from the beginning chosen you. That's another hard concept. Before the world was ever created. Listen, in eternity past, God knew you and I. Is that true? And because He knew that in eternity past, He decided, I love them so much, I need my Son to go for them. And the Son said, I'll go because I love them. All right. And then notice this, He's chosen you to salvation. This is from the very beginning. He's chosen to us to salvation. How? Through sanctification. So salvation is by sanctifying us or setting us apart for God. Do you believe that tonight? Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Because that sanctification is a work of God. And here's the question tonight. Do you want that to take place in your life? Because God's willing. We just need to ask Him. See, I can't will that for you. I can't ask that for you. I mean, I can, but you have to ultimately ask God. Listen, I'm praying for God to bring that conviction and that need into the hearts of my lost loved ones, that they'll come to know the Lord as their own personal Savior. But just as they have to make that personal choice, so do we in the work of God that He wants to do in your life and mine. So he says from the very beginning, He's chosen you to salvation through sanctification. And notice how it happens, of the Spirit and belief in the truth. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Because listen, faith moves towards trusting God's opportunities that He's provided, not ours. Everything that we can have in God has been provided by God, that we might enjoy it and that He would be glorified in that. So as we consider this, we are beloved of the Lord. It's all a work of the Lord. And then that's what we are in the Lord. Then I want you to just take a few moments here and look at what we have in the Lord. Look at verse 14. Whereunto He called you by our gospel. So He called us by the word of God to the obtaining. That's that word obtaining, not attaining, but to the obtaining. That's which we can have that's given by the Lord of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you see that? Listen. Whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our God. Notice this, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what He's saying we have in Him. Now, we do God a disservice to say, I can't glorify the Lord. I'm telling you, I fail in this area and I fail in that area. Let me ask you a question. Where's the problem? The eye problem. We're looking to ourselves. You don't have to raise your hand. I'll just tell you, I am convinced every believer struggles with that. Every believer. We saw that Moses struggled with that, didn't he? Lord, but I'm this and I'm that and I can't speak and I can't do that. Do you think, listen, when God in eternity past set up Moses to be the deliverer, do you think God already knew that? Absolutely. How about Elijah? Oh, Lord, I'm the only one left. Oh, no, you're not. Wait a minute. How about Abraham? God tells Abraham, you're going to have a son. Oh, God. Let Ishmael. I mean, after all. And by the way, I want to remind you, he was the first one that doubted about the son. And then in the next chapter, Sarah's laughing at it. I mean, why? Why did they have this unbelief? Where were they looking to come up with that unbelief? They weren't looking at the Lord. Where were they looking? At themselves. Listen, every time we will fail God, I promise you we're not looking at the Lord anymore. We're looking at ourselves. And we need to be reminded that God is not wanting us to try harder. God is wanting us to give up. God is wanting us to surrender and realize that we need the Lord to accomplish anything that He's called us to. So He's called us to salvation, which we have. He's called us not to, listen, salvation, here's God's intent, ready? Salvation through sanctification. Why? To make you and I different. Listen, can God save somebody and them choose not to walk with the Lord? Absolutely He can. But what is it that glorifies God? What is it that glorifies God? A changed life. A changed life. By the glory and grace of God. Listen, if we work hard at doing our best for God, we have nothing to give thanks because we did the work. If anything that will cause us to do, it'll cause us to say, boy, how great I am. I'm pretty good, aren't I? I mean, look what I do and look what I don't do. That's not what God wants us to do. God wants to do a work in our lives that we step back and say, only God. Only God. I know that is not in me. And so what happens is if we're not careful, we're settling down here. We're settling for what we can do, and we are missing on the infinite God. What He can do that we can't even begin to imagine to do. Listen, when the Lord sent out the 70 to heal the sick and to do all these things, that glorified the Lord. Did that excite the disciples a little bit when they came back to the Lord and said, man, Lord, even the devils are listening and following. And the Lord said this, that was important, but even better than that, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And then he told them this, listen, he says, because he went on to the Father, he said, greater works than what he did, you and I will do because he's going to the Father. And the Holy Spirit is going to indwell us and empower our lives. And the church today has settled down here. Why? Because their eyes are not on the Lord anymore. Oh God, that my eyes might turn toward you and look to you from whence my help comes from. And where you're honored and glorified, and where you can do your work in and through my life. So he's chosen us to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Listen, unbelief will render us powerless. God wants us to consider his promises and to realize that they are for us today. Don't answer this out loud. Have you ever looked at something that God had promised and you said, well, that was just for the first century Christians, right? That was for the disciples during the Lord's time. Okay, and I'll grant you even through Paul's time, right? And the apostles. But after that, it ended somewhere right after that, right after the first century. You know, there's an amazing phenomenon here is if you look for that verse where it ended, you won't find it. Do you know why? Because as we look today, our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not changed. He's not changed. Listen, the hearts and minds of his people may have changed, but he's not changed. He is still faithful. Praise God. He is still faithful. So notice verse 14 again, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. God wants us to obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is that we become like him. And that we walk with him. And that we follow him. And that the world looks and sees, guess what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. And what is the spirit of Christ? What is the first predominant thing of attribute of the Lord Jesus Christ? For God so? Isn't that amazing? Paul said, oh, listen, though I have the faith to remove mountains and though I bestow my goods to the poor and though I give my body to be burned, and Paul didn't do any of those things, but he said, if I have not charity, love, I am nothing. He says, I'm nothing. And so we need to look to that truth today and say, God, I am, listen, in Christ Jesus tonight, are you and I nothing? Is that how God sees us? Yeah, they're saved by the grace of God, but they're not much. You think God's doing that in heaven? Oh, when God looks at you and I, who does he see? The Lord Jesus Christ, because of the blood of Christ. And he says, oh, listen, all your potential and my potential is not wrapped up in us. Where is it wrapped up in? The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And is there anything impossible for God? Why do we give him such a hard time? Because we don't believe him. That's the truth. Oh, we do believe him to a certain extent. We do believe him. But we must be at least willing to admit we have a little bit of trouble with our belief system. And so if we bring that before the Lord, Lord, I want to believe. Have you ever, don't answer this one either, but just think about this. Have you ever asked God, I want to believe as you would have me to believe? That's a good place. I want to go where you want me to go. I want to live the way you want me to live. I want your light to shine through me. These are good things to ask the Lord, the way that you want it to shine. I want to trust you, Lord, in everything in my life the way you would have me to trust you. Those are good things to ask the Lord, and that's going to put everything on the Lord, and he says, now we're ready to work, because you're asking me for the right things, and when I bring them to pass, you will glorify me. You will say, God, you have answered my prayers. Listen, God wants to confirm your faith in mine, does he not? God is in the business of wanting to build your faith. He has come to give us faith, has he not? Beginning with salvation. And so what he wants to do is he wants you to see him in your life every day. I'm convinced of that. He wants us to see whose love in our lives. These are the fruits of the Spirit. He wants us to see whose kindness, mine or his? His gentleness, His long suffering. Oh, this is the best one. His patience. Isn't that good? His patience. Because our patience, come on, it's not worth much. It really isn't. It really isn't. We would like to think, oh, you know, we don't have any virtues really without the Lord. We can pat ourselves and compare ourselves by ourselves, right? I'm better than my neighbor. Well, that's not really a whole lot. Amen. That's not the standard either. So we need to be reminded that God has given to us, because of salvation, the potential of obtaining, and this is not blasphemous, this is the word of God, obtaining the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you see that? Look at verse 14. Whereunto, because you're beloved, because you've been given salvation, are you saved tonight? Amen. Okay, that's about half of us. Let's try that again. Are you saved tonight?
Amen.
Amen? Is God in our midst where two or three are gathered? All right, so you're saved tonight. Are you sure? All right, now listen, because you're saved, I want you to see this. God's chosen us to salvation. Not only that, but listen, he is sanctifying. He is in the business. It's his business to sanctify us, to set us apart. And it's done by the Spirit of God and believing in the truth. So if God is fulfilling his will and his work in our lives, then we are growing in this area. And if that's not taking place, then we need to say, God, forgive me for interfering or getting in your way. I want you to do your work in my life. Stop, listen, lay down the idea of what you're going to do for God and say, God, I want you to fulfill your will and your work in my life. You know why? Because it brings joy and excitement into our relationship with the Lord, because we watch him work and we've got something to shout about. Listen, I'm not up here just blowing in the wind because I'm supposed to. I am privileged to experience the grace of God. Now, I want you to know, I've mentioned this in the past, and I may be doing it, but it gets better. I'm just scratching at the surface. I'm not an authority on this. I am scratching at the surface, and I'm telling you, just the little bit that I'm experiencing is a wonderful blessing. Amen. It is, listen, it has set me free. And I'm telling you, I'm experiencing this probably in the last 5 or 6 years. I lose track of time, maybe a little longer or so. But I'm enjoying my walk with the Lord better than I ever have in the past 30 years. That's something that God wants to... Listen, does God want your salvation to grow duller and dimmer day by day? Or to grow brighter and brighter day by day? All right, don't answer this one out loud. Where is it? Is it growing? And is it getting brighter? Or are we just chalking off the sermons and the things we should be doing and have to be doing? Because the truth is, God wants us with this, not just to say it. Well, I get to serve the Lord. That's a good thing to say, but may we feel that. Amen? May we believe that, because it's an experience that God... Listen, I have the privilege of worshiping God. I get the privilege of hearing truths. In Sunday school, I am blessed to hear the Word of God. I get to preach the Word of God, but I am blessed. Do you know, listen, God gives you personal experiences that I can be blessed by. Brother John Smith is the teacher this time. Brother Tom Kidwell was the preacher the last, the teacher the last quarter, and every time they open up the Sunday school lesson, I learn things, and I hear things from their personal experiences that brings light to the scriptures that I'm feeding on, that God is feeding me with. It's not something that I just sit through, or that I listen. God wants to do a personal work in your life in such a way that it strengthens your faith and your walk with the Lord, and it is a blessing for other, because you got another angle that you approach the truth with, that other people will also be drawn closer to the Lord with that. So if it blesses you, 9 times out of 10, if the person is looking for the blessing of God, they're going to be blessed by it as well. Because our God is an infinite God. How foolish to think that I cannot learn from somebody else who's also indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Amen? He is a fool who cannot learn from the brains of other people. I mean, listen, God has blessed you with the Holy Spirit. I hope you never think that the blessings of God are too small for you to share, and that the blessings of God that in your life will not encourage somebody else because they do. I like to hear when people tell me, let me tell you what God has done and is doing in my life. I love that. Because I hear again the great faithfulness and awesome wonder of our God. And various different ones, if not all of you, at one place or another, have shared what God is doing or has done in your life. And that is a blessing. Don't sell God short. Because, listen, bask in the fellowship with God and enjoy that in such a way. And don't count it as a small thing. Listen, allow God to fan the flames. Amen? And let them to grow to be a consuming fire that we might be. Listen, that we, you and I might be consumed in the grace of God and not burned. Amen. That the world might see you and I set on fire by the grace of God. So watch this here. So we see what we have in the Lord. We are obtaining glory. Look at verse 15. Therefore, brethren, because we have this, because of the work of God, you and I can do what? Stand fast. You know what that means? Unmovable. But if that work of God, if we're not experiencing that work of God, we're going to be blown around like a tumbleweed. And that's not what God wants for our lives. The wonderful thing is you don't have to wait for Wednesday night, Sunday morning, or Sunday night to have this from the Lord. You just get along with God and you say, God, show me your glory. And watch what he'll do. Let me hear from you and approach the scriptures and watch where God will take you, and if he won't give you exactly what you need that will cause your heart. Watch if God himself doesn't open to the scriptures up to you and allow you to burn inside and say, oh God, how great thou art. Notice verse 15. He says, therefore, brethren, stand fast because of what we have, because what we have obtained, not attained, but obtained in the Lord. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which we have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. This is what causes us to hold on to the truth. So listen, if the grace of God and the work of God is what causes us to hold on to the truth that's been given to us, what will cause us to let go of them? It will be a lack of the work of God in our lives. So today, as we look at the church, and I really want to, the influence of the church or the impact of the church, it's not what it should be. We have to be willing to at least admit that. It's not, listen, because if we think, oh, they're good Christians, then we have nowhere to go. Because we have achieved what we need to achieve. And it's not what we achieve, it's what God wants to do in us. So let me ask you this. Have you and I entered into all the promises that God wants us to walk in? And the answer is no. Don't be like Israel and settle for what you have so far. Keep pressing toward the mark. Isn't that what the call is? Isn't that what Paul said? I don't walk as though I've attained. Isn't that what he said? Of all people, Paul could have said, man, he did say to one degree, he said, I labor more abundantly, but it's because of the grace of God, not because of me, but because of the work of God. And may you and I have that same testimony by the grace of God that we're experiencing more of the grace of God in our lives. So notice again verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now, I want to stop here just for a moment. And I want you to notice this also. We talk about now, or we see here, the everlasting consolation that has been given to you and I. Well, how does that happen? Well, the everlasting consolation begins with salvation, does it not? Then it continues with sanctification. And as we see that work taking place in our life, we have the consoling presence of the work of God that consoles us and says, yes, beyond the shadow of a doubt, I am watching God work. That comforts my heart. Amen. Because the lost world says, oh, you Christians, you believe in something. You believe in some invisible God. Really? Is that what we believe in? Now, we don't see him, but can we not see the works? Remember what Jesus said about the Spirit? You see the wind and the effects of the wind. You know that it's blowing. And how about the work of God, the work of the Spirit of God in our lives? Should not we also be able to see it? And maybe you've seen this, and it's been some time ago. I'll butcher this really, really, really good here, all right? There was a young little German boy having this back and forth with his professor, right, his teacher. And they were talking about the existence of God, and the professor was saying, if you can't see it, it doesn't exist. And it was Albert Einstein as a little kid, and you can look it up. And I think the idea went like this. Einstein said, well, let me ask you, professor or teacher, however they address their teachers, we can't see your brain, can we? Does that mean it doesn't exist? And so if we're not careful, listen, there are so many things that we can't see that we believe. In our world, that the lost people believe that they cannot see. And they believe in it. And yet, we believe in those things. We can see the effects of gravity, but do you really see the law of gravity? You see the effects of it. And so, we can also see the effects of God in our lives. Now, just because the effects of God are absent doesn't mean that they're not there for us to have. And maybe that the reason why they're absent is because we're not asking God to do these things in our lives. But let me ask you this question. Is it the will of God to do them? Yes, because he's brought us out of the world to bring us somewhere, and that's into his promises. So as we consider this, and we'll finish here, verse 15 again, he says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us, what? Listen, and he's already done it. He has given us an everlasting consolation. What is that? Notice. And good hope through what? Grace. It ought to be the grace of God taking place in your life and mine that brings consolation. It consoles us that we are experiencing the truth. But if it's been a long time since that's happened, you're not going to be very stable. You're not going to be very rooted in the truth. If it's been a long time. I know you never forget riding a bicycle, but I hopped on one not too long ago, and it's been a long time. It was a little small, and I was doing this number. I could do it, right? Maybe if it was, that's my excuse anyway. If it was a little bigger, I'd ride it a little bit better. But you don't ever really, but you're better at things the more you do them, are you not? There are some things that you used to do quite often that maybe as you go to do them now, they're a little bit more difficult. There are things that I used to do that I don't think I'll ever try that again because they might kill me. But when it comes to our relationship with the Lord, God makes those things brand new every time that we walk in them. God does that. So notice, we have an everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. That's God's grace. And as you experience that, Paul says this, listen, comfort your hearts and establish you. Listen, this is what God's consolation and good hope through grace does for us. It comforts our hearts and it establishes us in every good, listen, word and work. Did you see that? We have a good hope through the grace of God if we'll ask God to do it. Listen, those aren't just pie-in-the-sky words. They're truths for you and I to call God on. When you look at the Word of God, these are commands and instructions for us to approach the Lord. See, listen, God wants to have a vibrant relationship with you and I. But the only way to do that is to call upon him. But if we don't see that these are things he wants to accomplish in our lives, we have no reason to call upon the Lord. But if we look at the Word of God as seeing these are all the things that God wants in our lives, we've got a big list, don't we? Wait a minute, listen, we've got a great potential in the Lord to ask Him to fulfill in our lives. And it's His work. We are His workmanship, Ephesians chapter 2 tells us. Created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. But not by ourselves. So we need to say, God, I want to be comforted by the work that You're going to do and want to do in my life. I give you free rein in my life that You might fulfill everything You want to do in my life. I want You to bear Your fruit, more fruit, and much fruit in my life. And that's what Paul was saying when he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. He says, I'm not just beating the air. I have a purpose. He's saying, I'm not living like I've attained. That's the worst thing you can do. You know what he's saying? Also, listen, sometimes people say, well, I can't attain. No, no, no. Paul is saying, I'm not living like I reached a stopping point. I am not giving any bounds to God, is what he's saying. I am letting God have His complete will and way in my life. And that's where we've got to be convinced that God, is God done with us? I think He'd call us home if we were done. Does God have a purpose for your life and mine? Let's ask God to fulfill it. Amen? Amen. Would you stand as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before Your throne tonight. And Lord, we thank You for Your promises that are eternal and ever-present, Lord. If You would just open up our eyes, that Lord, that we might just call upon You to help our unbelief, that we might see truly everything that You desire for us to enjoy and to walk in, that You might be glorified, that our lives might be blessed, and that the world will see a light that will change lives. Bless the invitation, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.